everyone, and welcome to the Outdoor Citizen Podcast. This is episode 60. Your host today, Marty Jones. The podcast is produced by Owen Woods and Chris Mondragon. And my guest today is Brian Pucciarella, who's with San Luis Valley Great Outdoors, Jen Wild, and who knows, whatever else. But I guess we'll find out more about that today. So thanks, everyone, for joining us. As always, we want to thank Don Richmond for the music that you hear during the podcast and Daniel Boyce for the sounds of the valley's birds. Well, here it is, the first full week of summer, and it feels like summer in the San Luis Valley. We're hoping that we could get some summer monsoons to come in because it's been pretty dry. The level of the river is pretty low, but because the temperatures are warm, the grass is still growing, the birds are still out, so are other animals, and hopefully you've had a chance to get outside also. I know Brian's been outside, and so Brian, please tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll get into the topic for today, which is the gear library that you've set up.
Awesome. Thanks, Marty. Yeah, glad to be back. Wow, tell you about myself. That's a big question.
Sure.
I like to spend time outdoors. And my job at San Luis Valley Great Outdoors is to help other people get outside. A lot of that is focused through youth outdoor programming. And a lot of that is recreation infrastructure projects and basically trying to just solve all the various problems that prevent people from getting outside.
Great. And can you talk just a little bit more about the Gen Wild that you're involved with?
Yeah, so Generation Wild is it's a statewide program put on by Great Outdoors Colorado, and they fund a coalition of organizations who get outside. And so the San Luis Valley Generation Wild Coalition is 11 organizations who are across the valley and all the counties working to get kids outside. So we come together as a coalition, apply for funding together, and work together on lots of different programs and events, like the Rio Trio, for example, which just happened, Summerfest. And then, there's all sorts of programming happening. And the idea is just that, like, together we can do a lot more than we can as separate organizations. And so we've been averaging about 10,000 kids outside every year in the San Luis Valley.
That's great, considering that the population of the valley is no more than like 40,000 or 45,000.
Yeah, probably around 1,500 kids. And so... So now we're reaching about every kid in the valley at least once a year. We're pretty close to it.
Yeah, that's spectacular. Great. Well, the reason we asked you to come back today is to talk about the new gear library at the Hub. So tell us about the gear library.
Yeah, so this is a long-term vision come to life. We've been dreaming about it for a long time. We've been writing grants for a few years, and it's finally funded. It took a long time to get off the ground. So we wrote, the main grant for CPW Outdoor Equity 2 years ago to fund this, and it's taken this long to get it off the ground, but it's ready. And so what it is it's, think of it as a library, but for outdoor gear. And it's really that simple, but we have just tons of different items you need to get outside. So right now we have bikes, mountain bikes, we have fly fishing equipment, backpacking equipment, car camping equipment, snowshoes, snow sleds, just kind of baseline outdoor equipment, and we'll just keep growing it and expanding it. And right now, there is a focus on youth, but there is also a lot of adult sizes in the gear library as well.
So you said the focus is primarily on youth right now. Does that mean that at this time, the general public, an adult 21 through 85 is not going to be able to check out something from the gear library?
They will be able to starting in July.
Oh, and so that's coming up really
coming
quick.
Up, yeah. So our first phase, just to get our legs under us, was just opening up to Gen Wild partners and other organizational partners. And so a lot of the equipment right now is going out for big groups of people, week-long backpacking trips, weekend camping trips, daily sup trips, that kind of thing. And then those organizations will have the ability to reserve equipment ahead of time. And then whatever is remaining on any given day that we're open will be open to the public.
And is there a charge to these organizations for the gear?
There is, yeah. It's very affordable, but it's just a daily rate for all of the items. And it's, you know, roughly like 1.5% the retail cost for a daily rate. So a lot of our equipment, so if you want to come in and rent like a down jacket or a Melanzana or a backpack, it's just like maybe $1 to $3 a day.
If I were to come in after July, since I'm not a youth anymore, after July when it's open to the general public, and rent a stand-up paddleboard and a paddle for it as well, what would the daily charge for that be?
I think our sup daily rate is like $6.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very affordable.
Yeah, that's the goal. We're trying to keep it affordable, try to just reduce that barrier of like expensive outdoor equipment. And just get people outside. You know, we are trying to strike a balance of if there are local organizations or businesses that are renting things to the public, we're trying not to directly compete with them. So we don't necessarily want to like put out of business anybody renting outdoor equipment in the valley or anything like that. So we're just trying to fill the gaps of what's not being rented across the valley, and then try to make that as affordable as possible.
Right. Great. So you've been renting for how many weeks now to the Gen Wild partners?
About 6 weeks now. We've like officially been open. We've had some equipment. We've had our mountain bikes for over a year now, and that's kind of been going out for a long time now. So at least a year. So we've been figuring out our systems, but now the inventory is online and everybody can just go online and check out what we have and ready to go for the public.
So how do we access the online gear library?
Yeah, so the website is slvgenwild.myturn.com.
slvgenwild.myturn.com.
That's it. Yeah. So yeah. Our software we rent things through is called My Turn. That's just the rental software name.
Oh.
So it's slvgenwild.myturn.com.
Okay. Great. So how have the rentals been going? Have you had quite a few folks checking stuff out?
Yeah, I checked before you left and we've had 131 rentals already.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah.
What seems to be most popular?
Well, right now, because it's mostly programs renting equipment, the SUPs, our whole SUP fleet, we have 12 SUPs. They've gone out every day through the weekday, basically. And our bikes are going out every Friday, typically. We sent a backpacking trip to Canyonlands for Alpine Achievers
Ooh.
Initiative, which
Ooh,
was really cool.
Super. Yeah.
Yeah. And then a couple other camping trips.
And is there a minimum length of time that you need to use these? Like, do you have to have a camping gear? If you come in and ask for a backpacking stove, for example, can you get it for just a day, or is it a 3 day minimum?
Yeah, it'll depend on what our hours end up being, which we're still kind of finalizing. But we're gonna definitely be open at least Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Try to provide people the ability to rent things over the weekend or do daily rates on any of those days.
Great. So let's say I've got a 3-day bike and hike event planned. What would the process look like for me to come in and get started, get outfitted?
Yeah. So you would just come in. Right now we're located on San Juan and 6th Street. So we're right downtown in the Boys and Girls Club hub, the kind of communal space there. We have a little garage space with all of our gear in it. So you can come by and just check out equipment for us. So we would need an ID and a credit card, and we would create an account for you. And then you can take it out that day.
Oh, great. So that's pretty darn efficient, I'd say.
Yeah.
Don't have to necessarily get it a week in advance. But can you reserve things in advance if you know, for example, that you're going to be going on a cycling trip, a 3-day cycling trip 2 weeks from now? Could I reserve it in advance?
Yeah, you will be able to reserve it.
And what kind of bikes do you have? I know you said mountain bikes, but I'm just wondering, are they full suspension or do you have a mix?
I wish we had full suspension bikes. Right now you can rent those in Del Norte at the Rio Grande Bicycle Service shop there. But we have youth bikes. We have 20-inch mountain bikes, 24-inch mountain bikes, and then it gets into the more adult sizes. And right now we have extra small, small and medium mountain bikes. A lot of them were purchased through the specialized nonprofit wing. So they're just kind of generic hardtails. Mm-hmm. And then we have right now like 5 more like a true adult, more durable hardtail mountain bikes.
But do they have front suspension?
They do. Yeah. They have front shocks.
Okay. Great. So how did you guys get this started? Was there some model gear library that served as an inspiration for yours, or is this the first of them that you know of?
No, these exist all over. This is the 4th one that I have managed personally. So,
wow.
They've typically existed at universities. And so Adams State University had one when I was there. I ran one at the University of Alabama and Texas Tech University. And then we're starting to see these kind of pop up outside of the school systems, especially around the state. So we're definitely not the first in the state. Leadville has a really successful one. There's a couple in Denver, and then a few more popping up this year, just kind of all over the state.
But pretty new, certainly new, except for Adams State, certainly new for this area.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So what does it mean for the community to have this sort of a gear library available? How can it improve people's access to the outdoors?
Yeah, it's really just one of the puzzle pieces towards getting more people outside. So, you know, when you think about the traditional barriers to getting people outside, the cost of it is a big one. Transportation is a big one. Expertise is a big one. And then the equipment itself. And so, you know, it's my job to really address all of those barriers. This is the gear barrier we're trying to address. We're going to be running classes out of there. Some maybe next year, starting classes out of there to teach people how to use the equipment.
Oh, excellent. I was going to ask about that. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. And then, you know, we're always working on the infrastructure pieces, trying to get trails closer to town, more recreation infrastructure closer to the population centers around the valley. So those are all the different pieces. And then the gear library is just the latest one. And so hopefully, you know, you just won't have to buy as much equipment if you don't want to. If you want to just try backpacking, you can come rent equipment. Or if you don't want to buy little kid stuff because your kid is going to go camping in it one time before they outgrow it, you could just come rent it. So hoping to just really address those barriers specifically.
Yeah, that's excellent. It sounds like this is going to be a real, well, it's already a success, and it sounds like it's going to get even more successful, especially after July when the general public is going to be able to check out the gear library as well. Do you have any plans for like an open house or anything of that sort?
Yeah, we had our first one at the Hub opening the Friday before Rio Trio, so back in May. And that's a good idea. Yeah, we should definitely do another one for people.
Yeah, I think it'd be really nice for the general public now to get a chance to see what's there and check it out.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Maybe like late July, we can look into something like that.
Yeah, just let us know here at the Outdoor Citizen so we can promote it.
Yeah, definitely. And I wish I had like a hard date of the day we're opening to the public.
It's sometime in July.
Yeah, I'm going rafting for 8 days. And then when I get back, we'll open it up. So
excellent. Sounds like a fun time. Any final thoughts? Give us that website one more time, please.
Yeah, final thoughts. We have a lot of cool equipment. We've spent about $50,000 on outdoor gear so far. Again, mountain bikes, snowshoes, backpacking, car camping, fly fishing. I'm sure I'm missing something. Stand-up paddle boards. We have a lot of cool stuff. And clothing. That's a big one we've seen with our programs is kids show up to a program to go skiing, but then maybe don't have the clothing to go spend all day in the winter outside. So we have a lot of outdoor clothing as well, down jackets. Melanzana donated fleeces to us.
Wow, that's cool.
Rain jackets, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, definitely check it out. You can see our inventory on slvginwild.myturn.com. And if there's anything that looks good to you, come pay us a visit.
Excellent. Well, we've been visiting with Brian Pucciarella from San Luis Valley Great Outdoors and the Gen Wild Coalition, talking about the gear library at the Hub on San Juan and 6th here in Alamosa. Next up, some outdoor conditions for June, but first a word from our sponsor. And thank you, Brian, for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
All aboard the historic Cumbres and Toltec Scenic Railroad for the 2025 season. Operating in the scenic landscapes between Antonito, Colorado and Chama, New Mexico between May 31st and October 25th, Tuesday through Sunday. Cumbres and Toltec Scenic Railroad is located just 27 miles south to Alamosa, Colorado. Climb aboard for an unforgettable adventure for all ages.
All right, welcome back to the Outdoor Citizen. After small chances of rain early in the week, actually, Owen, I think we could say that we've got a 100% chance of rain since it's coming down pretty good right now as we are recording this. The end of June should be in the mid-80s with just a little bit of wind, which bodes well for the Bike to Build bike ride coming up on Saturday. We're looking at average moisture for July and above average temperatures throughout the rest of the summer. We have just a brief fishing report for you from Arc Anglers on the middle basin of the Arkansas River. From Buena Vista to Salida, flows have made a significant drop this week, and the river clarity is good. So speaking of river levels on the Rio Grande are also dropping. Back to the Arkansas, fishing has ramped up each day with the dropping flows, and the dry and dry hopper fishing has been very productive. That's excellent. Keep that in mind, Brian, when people come to check out the fly fishing gear, dry droppers, good rig this time of year. Expect trout to vacate faster areas of a current and move to velocity shelters along the banks amid submerged midstream structure. Streamers can also be good in the off-colored water, with higher flows being advantageous to the predation methods of more mature trout. Juvenile trout are vulnerable, and the older fish take notice. Anglers should also consider beefing up on leader material, as the need for stealth is long past, and heavier material will come in handy, working fish out of higher flows. We advise wade anglers to fish from shore whenever possible and to avoid wading in water where you can't see the river bottom. A very good idea. And now the news. A missing Pueblo resident, Rodney Gullinger, was found dead near Elwood Pass in Canoes County this past week. Gullinger was reported missing on April 16th, and an extensive search has been conducted since his truck was found steep in deep snow on Forest Road 380 near Stunner Campground. His body was found 7 miles from the location where his vehicle was found. Following a positive identification from the Canoes County coroner, his family was promptly notified. We wish the outcome had been different. While this is not the result we had hoped for, we are grateful to be able to bring closure to Mr. Gullinger's loved ones, said Canoes County Sheriff Garth Crowther. Millions of acres of federal public land would have been up for sale under a provision added to the Republicans' budget reconciliation bill. The provision has since been removed due to massive public outcry and opposition from senators and congresspeople. The sale of public land in the provision from the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee had been added under the auspices of addressing the nation's housing crisis. The provision would have required Secretary of Interior Doug Burgum and Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Collins to select for disposal between 0.5% and 0.75% of the 438 million acres managed by the Bureau of Land Management and United States Forest Service across the western United States, including Colorado. Between 2 and 3 million acres of land between the states would be sold off at breakneck speeds if the reconciliation bill is passed on its arbitrary adoption day of July 4th. An analysis from the Wilderness Society finds that more than 250 million acres of federal land, including 14 million acres in Colorado, are potentially in line for the auction block as House and Senate members work to create a final version of the bill in the coming weeks. And just in from this morning, Tuesday, June 24th, Senate parliamentarian Elizabeth McDonough ruled against language in the federal spending bill working its way through Congress that would mandate the sale of millions of acres of public land managed by the U.S. Forest Service and the Bureau of Land Management. McDonough said the provision and others that GOP senators have been trying to tuck into the spending plan does not comply with the Senate's Byrd rule and as such are not eligible to pass the Senate with a simple majority vote. The parliamentarian, who is the official advisor to the United States on interpretation of standing rules of the Senate and parliamentary procedure, also ruled against a provision on offshore oil and gas projects. However, it's a good idea to keep close tabs on this because who knows at the breakneck pace for everything that's happening in Washington, D.C., this could rear its ugly head again. So if you value the outdoors, be certain you contact your senators and Congressman Hurd to make your voices known. On another note, Cuchara Mountain Park, a ski area just on the other side of the Sangre de Cristos in Huerfano County that has been closed since 2000, is set to open after an agreement was reached between Huerfano County Commissioners and the nonprofit Panadero Ski Corporation. The agreement is for a 40-year operating agreement. Panadero had previously been operating on a temporary agreement with the county and working through different events to fundraise for the new central chairlift. Efforts to restore Cuchara started in kind in 2017 when the Cuchara Foundation acquired 50 acres of the ski area and transferred the land to county ownership. And now a look at some upcoming outdoor events. Jocelyn Russell and the GFWC Colorado Women's Citizenship Club are holding a ceremony officially unveiling Jocelyn's sculpture Into Thin Air, Cranes in Flight, on Saturday, June 28th from 3 to 5 p.m. The event will be held at the sculpture's new home on the corner of State Avenue and 6th Street at the Alamosa Welcome Center. The event is free to the public. The two bronze sandhill sculptures will stand tall with their wings spread in one of Alamosa's busiest corridors. It's a story we've been covering at Alamosa Citizen since we first started 4 years ago. And if you've seen this, the pictures of it, the mock-up, it's going to be a spectacular sculpture. So if you have a chance, get down there and show your support for Jocelyn Russell's sculpture. Also, on June 28th, beginning at 7:30 in the morning, is the San Luis Valley Habitat for Humanity Bike to Build, a fundraising event for SLV Habitat for Humanity. You can access a registration by going to the San Luis Valley Habitat for Humanity, and from their web page, click on the Bike to Build, and you can register online. Alternatively, you can also register the night before on June 27th, registration from 4 to 6 p.m., and that's going to be at the Alamosa Family Recreation Center. If you pre-registered, that's when you pick up your packet of information as well. Join me and a bunch of others on either a 26-mile ride or a 65-mile ride. The weather forecast is looking really good for Saturday, so come out and enjoy a pleasant day riding your bicycle. Another event a little farther away is the 2025 Ridgeway Reservoir Smallmouth Bass Classic. It will be available starting at 7 a.m. July 5th and continue until 6 p.m. on August 10th. The total prize purse for this year's tournament will be $20,000. The angler who harvests the most smallmouth bass will earn $10,000. Second place will receive $5,000. And third place will take home $1,000. There will also be three tagged smallmouth bass that are worth $1,000 each for any angler who turns in those fish. Smallmouth bass introduced illegally to Ridgeway Reservoir are predatory fish that can survive in western Colorado rivers, including the Uncompahgre River, which flows from the reservoir. There are no bag or possession limits on smallmouth bass at Ridgeway Reservoir, and there are no daily time restrictions on angling within the official tournament period. All smallmouth bass must be turned in at the fish drop box located next to the fish cleaning station at the Ridgeway Reservoir boat ramp. It will be open from noon July 5th to 6 p.m. August 10th. Participants older than 16 years of age will need a valid Colorado fishing license as well as a valid Colorado State Parks pass in order to enter Ridgeway State Park. And that ends this episode of the Outdoor Citizen podcast. The Outdoor Citizen is produced and edited by Owen Woods and published by AlamosaCitizen.com. You can listen to the show wherever you stream your podcasts. If you have an outdoor adventure you'd like to share, or if there are topics you'd like to hear about in a future episode, please send an email to info@AlamosaCitizen.com. As always, we want to thank Don Richmond for his song Sea Turtle and Daniel Boyce for the sounds of the valley's birds. And until next time, this is Marty Jones with the Outdoor Citizen Podcast saying welcome to summer, get out and enjoy the outdoors. Thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, this is Hannah Eubanks with the Valley Calendar Update. Here are the events you can look forward to this week. On Wednesday this week, Narrow Gauge Book Co-op is hosting Read 25. Join them at 5 p.m. for a whole host of fun. Friday at 6 is the Heartthrob Water Issue Release Party. Head to Narrow Gauge Book Cooperative to celebrate Hysteria Heart Press's second publication. On Saturday in Center, there's a summer bash all day long. Also on Saturday at 3 p.m., the Women's Citizenship Club celebrates the sculpture Into Thin Air, Cranes in Flight by renowned artist Jocelyn Russell. All are invited to join the fun. Saturday evening at the Narrow Gauge Book Co-op, spend an evening with author Danny Ladone at 6 p.m. And on Sunday at 6, hear music from the Delta Sonics at Cole Park. If you have an event coming up, submit it to the Valley Calendar. Head to the Valley Calendar page on alamosacitizen.com, click online form, and give us the details. That'll do for now. Have a great week.